All right. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for the times that we're in. We know we're getting close, Lord, to this greater happening of the man child coming. We thank you, Father, for sending him on. We need his wisdom and we need his presence. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to bless us all with new revelations into some word. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven. But tonight when we pray for somebody or something, circumstance or whatever, Lord, it will be done. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Bring us to the point, Father, where we don't hear anything but you. Just like Jesus did when he walked on earth. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me. And that's the way we want to be, Lord. You know, we're studying your word daily to find out what it is that you have for us to do. But we also love those individual personal words from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us all, leading us tonight into the things that you'd have us to talk and speak about. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
Good morning.
How to do.
I chatted with my friend, or Rian and I chatted with friends last night from South Africa, and they've been through some trials and their families are going through some trials. They're not a saved family. By faith they are. And the brother of our friend, doctors have said that he has cancer in his kidney and that it's spreading to the liver, and he's gone to see various specialists and they're pretty scared. And last night we were chatting with them and we said, well, thanks, lovey. We asked, would you be open to us praying for him? And she said that he is not a religious person, but when she was talking to him on Sunday or early in the week, he said to her, out of his own, from nowhere, he just said, there's unbelievable power in prayer. And so I just feel like the Holy Spirit is working in him, and he's obviously coming to the end of himself. And we asked if we could pray for them today on our fellowship. We told them about many healings that we've seen and testimonies of healings of cancer, and they said they would really appreciate the prayers. So I'd like to pray, and if you'd all agree with me, that'd be wonderful. Thank you, Father, for giving us an opportunity to come before you in absolute humility. We are in awe, Lord, of your goodness, of your grace and your mercy on each one of us. Father, you know Glenn's story. You knit him in his mother's womb, and he has been fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, you have spared that man's life from no less than 3 suicide attempts. You have been with him through many personal struggles, family struggles. And Father, you've brought him to this point where he is being, his flesh is maybe being tricked into looking in the natural and accepting the bad report. But Father, you put those words in his mouth. They came out of his mouth on Sunday when he was speaking to his dear sister. And Lord, we know that there is tremendous power in prayer. It is written that we only have to ask and believe that we have received. Our job as intercessors, Lord, is to come before you and lay the case before and stop the accusations of the enemy. Father, we come in faith and we say thank you, Father, for Glenn, Thank you for his life. Thank you for his salvation. And thank you for his healing. I rebuke all cancer, all ideas of cancer, all hopelessness, depression, and illness, inflammation, in the name of Jesus. Father, the man has got no symptoms of illness. He feels 100%, and I believe that's because he is. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to come before you and pray this prayer of faith. I command healing into that man's body at a molecular level. And I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to grant him the gift of confession and repentance, so that it's not only his kidney and his liver that are changed, Lord, but it is his heart that is changed. And he will come to have an even deeper understanding of what the power of prayer really means. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray. Thank you for allowing me to put this before you. And Father, while I'm here, I know Glenda did ask for prayer last night. That's the sister, Lord, our dear friend. Father, we pray that you lift her up in this time where she could easily succumb to anxiety and fear because she's so many miles away from her beloved brother. We rebuke the fear and anxiety in Glenda and her family and her household in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would pour out a spirit of peace over that family and that you would give them supernatural faith. At one point they believed, Lord. At one point they did. But let their hearts be as burning embers, Lord. And I pray that you will reignite that fire of faith and love in them. And they will be able to continue boldly on this journey in this life, in these earth suits, glorifying your holy name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe everything that Claire said is coming to pass. We put our faith out with her, Lord. And we thank you that Glenn is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for bringing Glenn and his family into the kingdom in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, because of this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're looking for the good testimony, Lord. Amen. All right, let's lift up Tracy. She says she's got a little back problem. Aaron had it for 3 days now, and she's ready to get rid of it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you for your word and your promises in your word. We rebuke this pain in her back. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. You don't have a reason to be there. We don't accept it. Every one of us believes it's gone. You're gone from Tracy's back right now in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. It doesn't make any difference what you call yourself. That back is completely healed in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Tracy's not having this problem anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe it? Pain's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, I don't have a prayer request, but I got a praise report. Last Thursday, we prayed for a little boy named Bentley who had gotten COVID shot, and they'd given him an adult dose, and he had been sick for 4 days. And anyway, we prayed for him, and 5 hours later, his mom posted on Facebook that he was doing a whole lot better. And he was just very sick with high fever, vomiting, lethargic, She hasn't posted anything else, and there were other things that we had prayed as well that we're believing are going to be answered. But anyway, very quickly, Father answered, and I was thinking about five being the number of grace. He answered within 5 hours. He was much better. So praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for that young boy, Bentley, in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe it. Go ahead, Andrea.
I've got a praise report. Last week, I asked the group to pray for us for our weekend away, and the Lord has truly, truly blessed us. We asked the Lord whether we can go on this holiday, and he said yes. And then I asked about you guys praying for the snow to go away, and there was no snow anywhere. And I specifically remember that Julie prayed that the sun would shine. It was cloudy, but there where the sun was shining, it was open. There was this hole for the sun to come through, and it was just amazing to see that promise and get reminded of that promise. And the Lord sent a very strong wind that was blowing over the weekend with a lot of damage in the northwestern side of the island where we are. But he protected our properties. Nothing, no broken trees, nothing. Everything was just perfect. So I praise the Lord for this wonderful weekend that we had with my family.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer for Andrea and her family. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the sunshine of your son all over. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
So mine's about weather too, actually. On Sunday, I wanted to take Micah to the beach and put her in the little front backpack thingy that babies can like ride in. And I just had this boost of joy. I was like, let's go do it. Let's go for a little mommy daughter walk. And, anywho, it was like so hot and the sun was just beaming down. I didn't want her to get a sunburn. And so I asked, I was like, Lord, let there be some overcast so that way we can go for a good walk and, you know, not have the sun like just roast us. 'Cause it was hot. Well, the further we drove, it was like the sun started going the opposite direction of us. And, by the time I got there to the beach, it was perfect. It was like perfect overcast. Like it was, like kind of gray, but still pretty. There was like a mist. And so we walked for like a mile, and, it was just a really sweet walk. And, just, you know, thinking about the Lord and, anyways, and then, when we turned around, we got back, and right as soon as we got into our car, the rain started pouring. So it was like the Lord held off the rain just in time for us to get back and get in the car and get situated. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. It was a really good day.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving your daughter, hers, a good day. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. That was Floridia. Floridia. What is that? Dave, go back to school. What's the matter with you, man? All right, Isaac or Marianne?
Hey, all right.
Hey, buddy.
It's good to see y'all tonight. Well, we're giving praise reports. I want to add one, too. So, but I want to kind of tell you the story behind it a little bit, if that's okay. But I'll make it quick. So, Mariana, we prayed, I don't remember if it was last Thursday or Tuesday. Yeah, it was last week. Because she had like a real bad irritation on her skin. And it looked like a bug bite. And I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a brown recluse. I don't know how much of you guys are familiar with brown recluse or... some of you guys from different parts of the country and worlds, but and I'm not, this is all good, so hang with me. But brown recluse, it's a type of spider that bites you and it'll deteriorate your skin, and it just keeps on deteriorating and eating up, and like you're like literally your skin and insides fall apart. It's a really nasty spider. It just basically causes rotting on the inside and out. And we just had our in-laws come down and visit us and bring us some stuff from our house in Cincinnati, where they're brown recluse in that area. And we hadn't been in the house in a little while. So that's kind of why I was thinking, you know, because they hang out in cardboard. And that's why I was thinking, man, because at first it was a big bump, right? And it's about the size of a softball or more. And it was real, real red. And then it got a pretty big hole in it. And the hole just got bigger and bigger. I mean, it was a big hole. It went through all three layers of skin. And when you could, it was not pretty.
It was not pretty.
Yeah. And anyways, so Mariana was really believing, man. And here's where it gets to the good stuff. She's really hanging in there in faith. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell her what I think it is. They don't know. We just say it's a bug bite. And, you know, I'm praying against it. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Looking at it, at times, my faith was a little shaken, but I was agreeing with her. But I didn't want to hinder her faith. And so, you know, the Lord's working with me, too, in this regard with this situation. And because sometimes for me, I feel like if I don't see it, it's easier for me to have faith. But if I see it, it's a little harder. Now, that's something that I need to work on. But I just like to confess that and believe that God's going to give me a measure of faith too. Right. And not going to be scared of these waves. Like, you know, you get it. Anyways, long story short, she went through this probably about a week and a half or more. And I mean, it was just getting red and red and huge and just bad, bad. She couldn't even sleep at night. And, the swelling started to go down, right? We had that prayer and the swelling started to go down with you guys. And the next few days, the swelling kept going down and down and down. And it looked good. However, there was still a big hole in her. And, you know, I said, honey, I don't want that hole getting any bigger. And we just prayed and she just believed. And if she was stubborn about it, she was really stubborn about it. And, you know, that was really a blessing to me to see that, too. And she's like, no, I'm healed. And that's all there is to it. OK. And overnight, man, that hole closed up. And it wasn't like a scratch in the skin. There was all three layers of skin were gone. I mean, it was inside her. Like it was, I don't know how to say it, man, but what size it was. But it was Geneva seen it. It's a really good size hole. And man, it just closed. And that guy's gone, man. And, you know, praise the Lord for answered prayers and these days that we need it. And then just like Mariana, you know, she mentioned about Paul getting snake bitten in the hand and shaking it off. You know, we're going to need these testimonies for others in the day so they can have faith also. And thank God, you know, the judgment starts with the church and in a good way to grow us. And, you know, I thank the Lord for giving me a measure of his faith and working on me too, and me not to be sidelined by sight anymore. But I want to share a testimony, confess myself, and just thank God that, man, his word's true, man. It really is. You can hang on to it.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that Mariana's a tough old gal, I'll tell you. That's awesome. Tough in the Lord. That's good. Amen. We just confess the good report and don't back up. I'm healed. I don't care what I'm looking at. Lord of God, I am healed. All right, Claire, go ahead, girl.
I have a praise report. My son has been, and Isaac and Mariano, I'm just so thrilled about that testimony. It's so awesome. Like, well done for enduring and thank you, Lord, for the healing. My son's been doing a little bit of running and on Sunday we went for a run and then he came back and, well, actually about 2 weeks ago, I took him for a run and his little foot on his right side started hurting a little bit when we were on the way home, like the home stretch. And I said to him, why do you think that is? And he kept quiet and he's like, well, mommy, I kicked Mika on the shin with this leg. I think maybe God's teaching me a lesson. So I said, okay, boy, well, what do you have to do? He's like, I guess I have to repent. So I said, yeah, maybe. And So, you know, he struggles with that part. He kind of wants me to do it for him sometimes, but we don't raise him that way. So, you know, he like jumbled through it. And then I went for a run with him on Sunday again, and his little foot was sore when we got home. And then, or could have been Monday, any one of these days it could have been, but yesterday, which was my Tuesday, I wanted to take him for another little run. And he was like, oh, mommy, I can't, my foot's too sore. I think it's because I, you know, I kicked Mika. I'm like, no, did you kick her again? He's like, no. I said, well, then it's gone. Don't worry about it. Like, you've like, just stop it. He's like, no, but it's really sore. And he kept on pointing at it. And I mean, I don't know anything. Like, what am I going to do? So I just prayed. And I said to him, well, we're going to run and you're going to be fine. And he like hobbled out, put his shoes on, and we started running. I'm like, how are you doing there, buddy? He's like, mommy, it's fine. And off he bolts, comes back, and he's hobbling. Like, once he gets inside the house, he's like, pretty much crawling around here. I said to him, what is going on? Oh, mommy, it's so sore. I said, it can't be, my boy. You just ran. You're fine. Everything's good. Like, the Lord has healed you. Daddy gets home. It's often much nicer when daddy prays. So then Rian took him and prayed for him. And this thing was just sore. Like, he even sat on my lap during dinner. And then we just said to him, we're reading George Mueller as I read aloud at the moment after dinner. So it kind of adds, because that man just had so much faith. So anyway, we read a little bit of a chapter and then put him to bed. And Rian just said to him, you'll see, in the morning you're going to be fine. The Lord has healed you. You are fine. So this morning, I don't hear much from him. And then he comes bounding into the room, gives Rian and I this big hug. And he's like, my foot is fine, but I don't think I should go for another run anytime soon. He's been running up and down here all morning. So I just thank God for the trial of faith. And I thank him that he has healed my son and everything is good. And I just speak healing into that, into those bones and those little ligaments that are maybe not used to doing as much as what he's doing, but praise God, he is growing and strong in the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Daniel just didn't want to go when you wanted to go. That's probably what it was. Okay, that's a good testimony. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Missy.
I have a testimony praise report. I was having muscle spasms. I think I've asked for prayer. At least I believe I did on Saturday. But anyway, I was having muscle spasms in my back, and it was, you know, I couldn't sit on my chair like this. Just to sit back on my chair was making my back muscle spasm. And yesterday, the day before, I forget which day it was now. I was, the Lord impressed me to go for a walk and to take these with me, Claire. I put them on a clip. I didn't have a ring, so I put them on one of these clips. Eve made these up for me. She laminated them for me. So anyway, so as I walked along, I did a mosey walk. I moseyed along, and I was reading them and praying them. And as it went, my back felt better, and I finished them up on my swing in the back. My back, it wasn't doing the spasms anymore. It felt tender, you know, because it's like your muscles are working, they get sore or whatever, but praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My back is healed and I'm not having spasms anymore. And thank you, Lord. The power of God's word, A to Z faith healing versus Idon Gossett. speak the word. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. And I was reading them again today, because actually the enemy was actually trying to come, you know, was trying to come back on me, and I was reading them again today, and so, you know, my back is fine. It's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I did that too. I read them. I try to read them every day, but I don't get to every day, but today I did. Thank you, Father, for healing Missy and everybody else that reads those things, because that's God's word. A to Z.
Thank
all
you for right, doing everybody. That. For
yeah, thank you so much for doing that. I got mine in a little, I made me a little dookie before. I did think just a little thing, and I've got a little hole in it, so I'm just hanging up on the wall, grab them when I need them. Just handy dandy little doohickey. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray, and I want y'all to believe with me against witchcraft, against this local fellowship. They're targeting a couple of the people in the fellowship, and I just want to pray against you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your promises, and I thank you, Father, that we don't have to put up with this nonsense of these factious people warring against us. In the name of Jesus right now, I command these demonic entities that have come against our people. I bind you right now. The Lord says what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. You are bound, and I cast you out of this fellowship right now in Jesus' name. I don't care if it's local or outreach. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your complete healing of the ones involved. And I praise you, Father, for their complete recovery very soon. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray for your warrior angels to stand around about this whole fellowship, local and outright, and the outreach, in Jesus' name, to guard against these things. And Lord, I ask that you place it in the heart to keep praying for one another, interceding for each of us. And I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, I command doubt and unbelief to go from this fellowship. I command confusion to go from this fellowship. Distraction, go in the name of Jesus. There's another one I'm trying to think of. Lord, I thank you that every one of them has got to go in the name of Jesus. Everything that's trying to hinder our walk and trying to hinder us from doing the things that you want us to do, you cease your activity now and get gone in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that it is done. We are cleansed of this in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you for it. Your protection upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it with me? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anyone else? All right, Andrew, you want to explain a little bit about what's going on tonight? Julie, go ahead. You go ahead and pray for them.
I have a testimony, but I sent you that just to let you know that it's
That's it right there. Those factious thoughts also.
Yeah. Well, I just what I sent Michael was I've been hit a lot lately with attacks from the enemy, factious thoughts against people. a lot of criticism and judging, just vain, evil thoughts and imaginations. And, you know, you have to do warfare against that, not accept it. So it's the enemy just hates us. Praise God. I love you all. And I know you love me. Praise the Lord. I have a testimony, though, because God is, our Father is awesome. I was sharing with my sister some of this yesterday, but I have a wireless mouse and keyboard for my computer, and I was having all kinds of trouble with it for the last, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. And I kept rebuking it, and I kept commanding healing, and I was getting some success, but it was really starting to annoy me. And it's like, no, Lord, you said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe you received it. Then I was hearing this, why don't you just order a new one? Why don't you just order a new one? I was like, no, I don't want to spend money and get a new one. I don't want to do that. Lord, you said. But the thought came to me was, I need to work. And I can't sit here for 30 minutes, an hour playing with this to work. You know, the little USB port receiver, I was getting malfunction errors on my computer and I was trying to use it. And I'm like, no, I'm not receiving that. Well, anyhow, so I end up ordering one yesterday. This is yesterday morning. It's like, okay, I'm just going to order it. Well, they said it would be here on Wednesday. But then the thought came to me, why don't you see about the warranty on what you got? And so I called, I contacted the manufacturer of it and answered all their questions, blah, 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 about what I had and for my computer and all that. And it was only under warranty for a year. So he said, but let me see if they will honor it and send you, we can honor the warranty anyway, and just replace this little guy. So the receiver for the USB port for the keyboard. So he came back on the phone immediately and said, yep, we're going to honor it. We're going to send you a new one. So I don't have to buy a new one. I canceled my order today because they sent me an email, said that it was back order and I wouldn't have it till the 27th. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. You just made it easy. I'm not waiting till the 27th. I just prayed. It was like, Lord, you can have that thing to me here as soon as possible. So I got an email confirmation today that it's on its way and I should have it by Friday, if not sooner. Right to my door is coming FedEx. They not just put it in the mail. They overnight it. Well, you know, not overnight it, but it's coming FedEx to me. So God is faithful. Didn't cost me anything. I hate having to recycle all this plastic junk and electronics anyway. So I just got this one little piece I got to throw away. Anyway, God's awesome. He's awesome. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Didn't cost me anything.
Praise God.
Except some flesh. Except some flesh. I had to crucify some flesh about, you know, getting irritated and angry about why it wasn't working. And I don't like my keyboard on my computer so much, but I really hate not having a mouse by my side because I don't like my keyboard mouse. And then I had this in my drawer. I remember that I still had this from a few years ago, but I wanted to get the keyboard thing. So thank God I have a mouse. I can do my job. I'm not going crazy. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Great mouse story. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? We love you, Julie. We do. We just love you, girl. That's L-U-V. All right, Andrew. Go for it, brother. You got 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay, I'm trying to make it. I was doing a Bible study on and I was reading the book of Mark, and I was finding out some new things in my Bible study, and I just said, well, wouldn't it be nice if some people were to to relay some of the things that they're finding out. And I don't know if you read your email or if you got an email to you, because Michael was having some problems with emailing. And it says, Dear Michael, how about this for a study? And I wrote in this letter, explain or discern these verses in the spirit. Mark 1:4, 9:49, 10:38. Does one need to get wet or burnt physically? Or how did these happen for us? Example, Mark 4, 1 and 4. Happened without physical water at our calling, the repentance and remission of sin, of sins. And, you know, there in Mark 1 and 4, of course, they're talking about the baptism of John the Baptist, and they confessed their sins after they got baptized, or maybe before, I don't know. And why should we have this study? Well, because, and then I sort of wrote this kind of this way so that it's a question, and within the question, it actually, there's a little bit of revelation there. Well, because how sweet, and then I put in brackets James 3, 10 and 11, is the honey which we need to eat so that with God's help, we can overcome the flesh. And this is very needed today. And then I also added, so also perhaps each one, if they want to, in the fellowship can give a verse with a short explain or discernment, 2 to 5 minutes, or maybe 7 minutes for some of us, because fellowship is good for us. So that's what I wrote, and I hope you got your email, because I think you sent it out on either Friday or Saturday. I think I sent them over on Friday, the email. And, the verse in 9:49 has to do with a very interesting, I'll just read it. It's a very short verse. For everyone shall be salted with fire. So, you know, what kind of salt shaker does the Lord have here? That's salted with fire. And a verse came to mind where he has his fan in his hand. I can't remember where it is, and he fans away the chaff and the fruit of whatever, let's say it's wheat, it stays there, and he puts the wheat in his garner and he burns up the chaff. So this is a way of getting rid of your flesh. So I remember David Eales saying in one of his studies that God loves the smell of burning flesh, and of course God's going to take care of our flesh, because in Corinthians, it says meats, the belly for meats, and the meats for the belly, but God will overthrow both it and them. So God is working on our flesh, and that's another discernment. So that's just another example. And if a person has any other things, because if you examine 10 and 38, it's mentioning there that it is another baptism, but those people who are the sons of Zebedee are not going through another baptism where they're getting wet. So how many times does a person get baptized, really, in the spirit? So here's a fire one, and then he's talking another water one that they're really not going to go through per se water again, because he's talking about what Jesus says to them. You know not what you ask, when they were asking to be at his left hand and his right hand. And he says, can ye drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? So it's these little items that have to be, of course, discerned in the spirit. And it's not like they're getting wet again there. And it's not like they're getting wet in Mark 1 and 4 either. Or it's not like the baptism of fire there is happening in 9 and 49 for the one we just discussed with the Lord's getting rid of the chaff with the wind blowing, and he's burning it up with his fire, and the fruit goes in his garner, and of course the garner would be in heaven. So that's basically it. I was trying to explain it, so I took a little more than 7 minutes there. So if anyone has something to add or something to give under their own scrutiny that what the Lord has shown them lately, it would be wonderful to hear. And so I guess the floor's open for that.
Amen. You took 5 minutes, 13 seconds, and you're just a little bit over, that's all. Next. I'm kidding. I wouldn't keep looking at it all. Next. Anybody got a verse? Yeah, Joe B., go ahead, brother.
Michael, would you mind that I can share the screen, please, if you don't mind? Can you see all see that? Okay. Well, I think you can. Most of us can read. I'm not trying to explain something. As I took verse from what Andrew says of Mark 9:49, for everyone shall be subject to fire. I would start with verse 41. For those shall give you a cup of water to drink. Because in a name, that means your nature, character, and faculty that's matured in Christ, you are Christ. My body talks about a mature person. Amen, I say to you, but he shall in no wise lose his reward. When in Mark 9:42, and whosoever shall cause one of these little ones, that's a new believer, but believe in me, to stumble, I didn't put the whole verse in, just to get the points I want to make. And verse 43, if I hand, that means your own works without faith, cause me to stumble, cut it out, and it is good for me to enter into a life maimed, rather than having two hands that's double-minded or try to please both, to go into hell, into unquenchable fire. And verse 45, if I foot that your own work caused me to stumble, cut it off, it is good for you to enter into a life halt, rather than having 2 feet that you're double-minded, 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in God's kingdom, to be cast out. And verse 47, if thine eye cause thee to stumble, your eyes is not single, it's not on the Lord, your whole body is not full of light, cast it out. It is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, meaning on the things of the Lord, when rather than have 2 eyes, a double mind, one on the world and other on Christ, to be cast into hell. And Mark 9:49, for everyone that shall be salted with fire, that's one Andrew was talking about, I would say is you have to be tried, tested through trials. Okay, verse 41, I would say, talking about the maturing Christ, but shall in no wise lose their reward. verse 42 is talking about the new believer in Christ. And verse 43 to verse 47 is talking about the immature in Christ. And the verse Andrew was talking about, I would say, is talking about the mature in verse 41, new believers in 42, and the immature in 42 to 47. That's going to be tested and salted for fire. That's all I got on that one. I would say all of them is going to be tested by mature at the beginning, when you're new believers, and then in immature, verse 43 to 47. Who's going to be tested with verse 49? Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes. Yes, it does. That's real good. Thank you, Joe.
Joe, can you move the screen up to where you can see? There you go. Thanks. That was very good. Sorry, I didn't mean to butt in, but I just wanted to catch that. Yeah, copy that. That was, I've read that so many times, and I never applied that double-minded process that you just explained. That's pretty enlightening, really. I was thinking when, by the way, I didn't raise my hand. Sorry, Michael. I just butted in.
That's okay. Go ahead, Pat. That's we just marked you down in the file. That's all.
Okay, I got you. Good. I was thinking of those verses more in the intensity, I guess, more of on the intensity level of, like when he's saying, if thy hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It's good for thee to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands and going to hell in the unquenchable fire. And I guess I was thinking of more in terms of the intensity and the significance and the absolute importance of following God's word, that even, I mean, I can't imagine being forced with the decision to cut off my own hand. And if you just think about something that intense, being placed in such a position to even have to consider that shows a certain amount of intensity or importance that God lays on that concept. But quite frankly, Joe, you kind of derailed me because I wasn't even thinking of that whole concept. So I appreciate that. That's very, very good. Thank you.
Yes, it was very insightful, Joe. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Just real quick. I was just thinking while Joe was talking and Pat was talking. What happens to salt when you put it to fire? Like, what actually physically happens? I'm going to read you a quick little definition, and I think you guys will get it. It's just cool. That's all. It says, if you throw salt into the fire, it will change the color of the flame. This isn't because the salt is burning. It's because the heat of the flame changes the energy of the electrons in the salt, and this change releases photons of light. So you will see a yellow flame when burning salt. So, you know, you think about it, the light changes, the brilliance of it changes, you know, through those trials. I don't know, just wanted to add, I thought that's pretty cool.
In what way does it change? Is it more brilliant or?
Yeah, it's more. Say that again.
Go ahead.
It seems to be more brilliant, I think. It says you will see a yellow flame when burning salt, but they have a picture and it does seem to be more brilliant. And I don't know how to, that's all I know so far.
Amen. Yeah, I'll have to get me a box of salt, throw it in my fire the next time, got it on next winter.
Almost sounds like he's adding a little more light to it. Anyways, just wanted to throw that in.
Amen. Yes, Pat.
So, sorry, I did not get that email. Well, I did get the email. It's bound up in about 550 other emails in my, I'm going to have to change my email address or something because it's getting blown out. But anyway, different story. Actually, the little teaching there or the thing that Joe spoke about is kind of in the three verses that Andrew put out there, kind of a table of contents. Joe was saying that in the first verses have to do with, born again, the born again process, or young believers, children in Christ. And then the next seven verses were based upon maturing, or the fire that God takes us through in the wilderness experience. And then the third verse, I have to go back and look at that verse now to think about, but Joe explained three stages, you know, son, young, or child, young man, and fathers, maybe, or something like that. But if you look at the verses that Andrew gave us, was Mark 1:4, John came, who baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance of sin. I guess repentance and remission of sins, which is born again. And then for everyone who shall be, in Mark 9:14, for everyone who shall be salted with fire, discipleship and walking in obedience to the Lord and sacrificing that flesh to the altar of obedience to his word. And then Mark 10:38, but Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And that final crucifixion of the flesh and perfection of the resurrection, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And that speaks of the perfection, the man-child, the moving into that perfected life that Jesus has prepared for us. So I kind of picked up on that, you know, table, Andrew coming across the table of contents and Joe filling in the blanks. It was pretty good. So thank you all.
Amen. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, I just looked into a little bit more. Sorry, I don't want to harp on it. I know there's other things y'all want to explain. But just to kind of to answer your question, Michael, I'm looking here at a table of, chemicals added to fire and colors of it. And it goes through reds, oranges, yellow, yellow, oranges, yellow, greens, greens, blues, purples, and whites. So magnesium sulfate is white, which would be really brilliant, right? Magnesium sulfate is Epsom salt, really. I mean, I don't know. All the other chemicals are stuff like lithium, calcium, stuff like that. I don't know. Not trying to get too far in a rabbit hole here, but I'm just saying that, like Andrew said, trials produce light, you know, and we're sons of the light.
Amen. Showed up. Somebody had their hand up. Who was that? That was William. Go ahead, William.
Oh, sorry, that was by accident.
Okay, that's okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Anybody else got a verse that they'd like to share? Yes, Pat. I'll get right back to you, Andrew.
I was going to say, Andrew, all right, well, never mind. I got the floor, I guess. It kind of almost fits in this, but I've been on with the Lord has given me Isaiah 26, chapter 26. And I went to that verse 3 because I was, it said that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is an everlasting rock. And I was thinking about that. It's interesting in that verse, thou will keep him in perfect peace. That word for perfect peace, it's repeated twice. It's absolute perfect, or there's some sort of a double emphasis there that the Lord puts on it, almost like it's not only peace, but it's absolute, perfect, complete peace. Almost like completely complete or something like that. So it's very weird. But it's, and I'm thinking in terms of the perfection that the Lord has given us in his word through his life, that entering into that perfect, complete, completely complete peace. I've been thinking about there's a certain intensity there. I mean, there's a certain, it's more than just peace. It's kind of almost like on the thought came to me the other day that that as I was pondering this, that peace, when we look at peace in the world, like peace in the nations, or it's not just peace like that which is in the nations, or when two people are arguing and they quit arguing, that's not peace. That's a cessation of conflict. But the original reasons that the conflict was in there, inside those people or inside those nations, has not been resolved. It's just been overpowered to quit fighting. And this, but the peace that I believe God gives us, that perfect place of the Most High, I believe is not only just a cessation of conflict, but it's a removal of the source of that conflict within our hearts. And this almost, this kind of speaks to the last verses that that baptism that Jesus was talking about. Can you be baptized with that baptism that I am baptized with? And it was in that baptism that he went to the cross, not only spiritually, but first spiritually, and he went to the cross. Not that I'm saying that we need to, you know, be nailed on a cross, because in fact we already have in Christ, but the intensity of that action, the intensity that motivated, that propelled Jesus to the cross, that was that baptism that he was baptized with. And I go back to that thought that when a person is really dead, when that death has really taken place, that's the place where is located the only, or the freedom that there is in Christ, the absolute cessation of any kind of opposition or doubt or hesitation, passivity, double-mindedness, any of that, that cessation of that opposition is dead and crucified in that perfection, I believe. Anyway, I'm just rambling now. Hi, Isaac, got his camera back. Cool.
Amen. Y'all looking pretty snazzy there. Yeah. Awesome. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Pat. Would be in that cabinet, corner
what's
cabinet,
that?
I think.
We had what's that, Vanita?
Okay.
Vanita.
I think we have some.
Vanita.
But I don't remember 100%.
Vanita. Vanita. Oh, thank you.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know how it happened. Sorry. Just got home. It's crazy here.
Okay. That's no problem. No problem. All right, David, go ahead.
When I seen the passage here, if I find it, about salted with fire, it kind of reminded me, and we also were talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, because essentially it starts out with John baptizing with water to repentance for remission of sins. And then John follows up and says, I baptize for the remission of sins, which is getting prepared people's hearts. But then he continues on and talks about how Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit in Mark 1:8. So he's talking about something that's even more fulfilling, because there is the man side of repentance, and that's as far as we can take it for our salvation, really. I mean, when you think about what can you do to save yourself other than coming in agreement with the word, not too much. I mean, God's the one that's going to have to do the rest of the work, and he did that through Jesus. But we're just supposed to come in agreement with it and walk with it and let him do the change in our hearts. That's kind of how I feel about how I see things. But so we see that, and Joe brought up a really good thing about being double-mindedness and having eyes on the world and eyes on the kingdom, and that's going to, you know, that'll ruin your saltiness in a sense of make it worthless. Something that's going to be, you're going to, the salt loses its favor and flavor. What do? You cast it in the, Jesus talked about, you cast it inside of the pathway you're walking on. It's be walked on. It's worthless because at that point it has no value for being used anymore. So keeping your eye on the word and on yourself and constantly striving towards the kingdom, that's what we have to do in order to stay on task, and especially to stay on a straight and narrow path. But I see also here in Acts, and it brought me in the seeing the Holy Spirit baptism with fire of tongues over their heads. I seen that, and I said, that also is that fire we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit baptism. And you see that here in Acts 2. And there appeared to them tongues of fire amongst themselves. Really, it says parting asunder means they all had these tongues of fire over their heads, like as fire. And it sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's this fire baptism of God that comes in you that takes you to that next step in walking in the Lord, walking in the word, walking in the kingdom, that only water baptism, and which is very significant because it's something you're supposed to do, is get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And first you're supposed to be baptized in the water. Usually that's part of it's a commandment, you know, believe and be baptized. So after the water baptism, which is recognizing you came out of the water, you went down and died with Christ, came up and raised with Christ, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the fire of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire coming in your life, the fire of God coming inside you to purify you and continue to help you walk that road, and so you can hear from the Lord. You know, I wonder sometimes about people that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit into the church, the denominational church, how well they hear from the Lord, you know, and how much of their soul is tormented from their own guilt of their sin and guilt of not overcoming in their life and not having that baptism of the Holy Spirit to continue to push them through, because without that baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and having faith that he can do those things for you, because with that baptism you get a renewed faith. I was able to start coming into the kingdom much more easily without being beat up by Satan all the time. I was able to shut things out. And that's what the part of that double-mindedness is all about. It's Satan's kingdom having a foothold in your life, because now you're listening to those voices that take you away from the Lord. You know, you're seeing and hearing from the world rather than God. And that's what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. It's supposed to be a more of a seal in your life. And it doesn't mean like the Pentecostal idea, once you got that baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, you cross the line. That's not it. But it is a point in your life where you're able to hear more clearly from the Lord and start having a little more obedience in the word. Doesn't mean you're walking perfectly and have it all right yet, because you're still going to be corrected by the Lord. You're still going to have things he's going to bring up in your life that you need to deal with, and that he's going to work on you on an individual basis. Constantly, not once, not a few times. I mean, If you're hearing from the Lord, you can hear pretty much a lot during your walk, because he's wanting to bring you into this kingdom and have fruit. And part of that fruit is, like we talked about, death to self. And the way that happens is correction and trials. But without that baptism, you don't even have that ability to hear the Lord and obey or become into obedience. Doesn't mean you get it all once either, but you do get the obedience through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the important part. That's where this fire is all about, the salt. It's getting that baptism of the Holy Spirit, not just the water baptism. You need more. You need more. And that's what I see in some of these verses, is the importance of it. And Jesus was talking about how much it would take and how much is, how hard it is, the baptism that he has, the ability for him to go to that cross, what he needed in him in order to do that. And he says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? He was saying, there's even a taller call in my life for these things that I need, you know, my Father, my God, his Holy Spirit to help me go through this. And he did. And he was everything we needed him to be in order so we could become like him. Praise the Lord for that. So that's probably where I'm seeing this. So I'll let it off. I probably went over 5 minutes. Thank you.
Amen. He went over a minute and a half, Dave. I'm just got it marked down, buddy. Go ahead, Ray. No, I don't know how to help you with it.
I'd like to add to Pat's thoughts on the, what was it? Wait a minute now. I just lost it. It was something perfect peace. My understanding is the reason for the word to be repeated is to emphasize, to bring our attention to the fact that in order for us to really have complete peace, it has to be an effort on our part to get what we have as head knowledge and spirit knowledge to the deepest level, so we know no matter what happens, and this is the hard part, no matter what happens, we know God is love. He is a judge that is not only just, but merciful. So whatever actions are taken, that means it's with the Lord, either having it come to a point or I was thinking of another thought, which I actually lost, but let me just get back on it. Either the Lord is in control, he's allowing for it, or he ordains it. I think that pretty much states how I reflect on the, what was it? Perfect peace. it takes me a while to get the perfect peace. I'm getting there.
Amen. Thank you, Jude. Go ahead, call in, use your number one.
Is that me?
You're the only one I know of that's got called in, use your number one.
I was hoping for 8 minutes and 38 seconds.
I've got the buzzer, buddy. You go ahead. Okay. Now. You haven't been on it. That's the floor.
16 and okay, no, I don't. I don't really have that much to say. I was just wondering if everybody. I'm of course we've changed over the years, but years ago, there's a video and an account of what happened up in Alaska at a little church out in the middle of nowhere, where they had it was a very supernatural thing that happened. It seems to me they were praying, it's been so long, if I'm just trying to recall, they were praying and then or worshiping or something, and this roaring sound like a freight train started building. And it's, what's so incredible is it's actually on a audio recording, so you can hear the sound. In fact, the sound gets so loud it's hard to even hear anybody. It just increases. Maybe some of you've read that account could recall if there was a kind of a sensation of fire going on. But it's the different accounts of different people that were there were pretty incredible, very, very unusual. So anyway, that's just a question I have. I know many of you have heard that, read that account up in Alaska, United States, for those of us who are not North American.
Malcolm, what time of the year, what date was it? What year?
I don't know. It was soon after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2007. It may have happened around that time, or maybe before. But it may have been before, because they may have had some, like a reel-to-reel recording system or some kind of recording going on. The sound people were trying to figure out what in the world was going on, because they felt like it was their equipment. But
a known caller.
But the intensity got to the point where it was beyond what their sound system could produce. I mean, it was just too overwhelming. Anyway, if you haven't heard that story, you might look it up. I think you just look up sound. Wind, just trying to think of some different search terms, Alaska, Holy Spirit. I'm just looking at Matthew 9:49 here. You make some comments about that. If you look at the, I'm just looking at the context of 49, for everyone will be salted with fire. For, that's gar in Greek, gar, everyone. But it all starts with, it is better for you to enter into the kingdom, up in verse 47. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom with one eye than having two eyes being thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not extinguished. Which is interesting, because Jesus there is talking about fire not being extinguished. So, think about that. The next verse, which is the reason for that Jesus pronouncement earlier, for everyone will be salted with fire. So Jesus is already talking about fire, and that everybody's going to be salted with fire. But in other words, everybody's headed for fire one way or the other. And then he says salt is good. But then he talks about if the salt content is depleted, then how in the world are you going to make it salty? And then it's interesting, the last part of verse 50, it says have. And have is imperative in Greek. It's a, it's a command. Have salt among yourselves. And be at peace, and peace is also imperative. In other words, it's a command. So have salt among yourselves and be at peace one with another. Those are two commands as a result of what Jesus is talking about earlier there, which is everyone being salted with fire. Anyway, it's just interesting. I like, we like when you study the Bible, we like to look at the context and see, what's Jesus talking about overall, and how does this fit into that? Okay, I'll quit.
Amen. I think
we're talking, maybe I'll just look this up real quick. I've downloaded all that video.
Hey, so Malcolm.
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Solid copy.
Okay.
Full quiet.
Okay. Okay. It must
be
delayed.
Are both those links the same thing? Michael and Lana put up.
Well, mine is from 1989. It's from Siberia. I assume it hers is too. That's the original. I remember when that was put out back then. I was actually on the internet when I heard that. A deep hole with all the screams and tears and all that kind of stuff. Could be a hoax, I don't know. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Lana. Hey, girl. Didn't see you. Get on.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to confirm what was asked earlier. The link I posted is the story from the recording of the Holy Spirit filling that fellowship. It's there's a whole series of them if you look it up. Using the link I posted, if you, goodness, just when you need it, you can't get there. it's called Transformations, Full Documentary, The Power of Unity, Prayer, and Fasting. There's quite a few series on those, and what Malcolm mentioned is part of it, and I managed to find the clip of that one specifically, so take a listen. It's pretty incredible.
All right. The one I have was just of the audio of the hole that they took, apparently, these men who were working around that hole. And that was Sounds of Hell, I think is the name of it. If anyone's interested in listening to that stuff. Okay, anyone else? Yeah.
Not to spend too much time talking about the whole salt deal, because I know, Andrew had a lot there that he sent an email that they want to talk about. But I've thought about that before, though. Like, if you read in, I think Malcolm was just talking about it, Matthew 5:13, but you are the salt of the earth. The salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. I didn't really know what that meant. And I prayed about it and asked the Lord. And I looked at the word favor. And the word there is merino in Greek. And it means insipid, simpleton, lacking character or spirit. And that's pretty important. Character, that's that anoma, that nature, character, and authority. And spirit, salt there is halos, which is prudence or wisdom or judiciousness. And I know at times, like when back in my other working careers where I worked, I always wanted to be the funny guy, just trying to be easy to get along with, be the funny guy. And you really lose all credibility when you cross over at times. Sometimes you just need to have some type of, we'll call it, prudence or wisdom, and just be kind of more quiet. And the Lord showed me too, and this is just me talking, that, in our witness, as Christians, that sometimes it's, we have to be careful, because we're really, for a lot of people, we're really under the microscope. And so what they know of Christ, what they know of Christ is through you and what they view, right? And because they may not know Christ at all. And so that's just, you know, that's not like a very deep thing I'm saying, but it's just something the Lord showed me. And, you know, so I thought that was interesting, but check this out. I just realized this. Now, I'm going to read the verse after 13. So it says, I'm going to read 13 as well. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted, is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, there's something there. Now, back to that rabbit hole I was talking about. There's something there, that brilliance. You are the light of the world, right? I mean, man, it's right there. Now I know, Andrew, sorry. I know you didn't send out an email so we could talk about salt, but I just can't help but, you know, look at it and think. Anyways, and, you know, y'all mentioned that I want to share a quick little revelation that I think is real beautiful God gave me. And it's about, I may be quoting this wrong, but John the Baptist come, the baptism of repentance, right? I was reading Matthew 10. Actually, I wasn't even reading. I take that back. My son Israel, we were just talking one day at the dinner table. I said, what's your favorite type of bird, right? There's all kinds of birds in Florida. They're different colors. They're everywhere. And he said, a sparrow. And I said, sparrow? A kid likes a sparrow. Nobody likes sparrows. Anyway, to think about it. And man, I'm telling you, and this is God's honest truth. When he said that, I did one of his numbers. And man, it's just sparrow. Okay, well, let's see. And that's Matthew 10. But check this out. I'm kind of veering off a little bit, but it does have repentance in it. And it says, and hang on. Because he goes on to say, and be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Okay, so here's the thing. Man, I just read that real quick to find where sparrows was at. Man, it just hit me. And I said, my Lord. I said, Israel, that's a real revelation. And he said, what? And I said, you know what? I need to look this up. And sure enough, did you know back in the Old Testament days, not everybody had money. They couldn't sacrifice a lamb or a bullock, right? They didn't have a turtle dove, but you could take a sparrow and look it up. If you do your research, you'll see it. You could take a sparrow and that you could use that for your sins as a sacrifice. You really could. And they did it back in those days, right? And that's what the Lord showed me. We put more value on our sins than he does. He puts value on being like Christ. So two sparrows for a penny, right? Two sparrows for a penny. He doesn't have value on our sin. It's not, well, you're a sinner. That's Satan. That's condemnation. That's what he wants to tell you. But no, it's not. It's not that at all. He doesn't put value on that. Two sparrows for a penny. And notice, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them should fall on the ground without your father? Because they would kill the one and let the other live and send it off. What they would do, they'd let it fly. They'd use the blood of the one. So one would fall, right? And of course he knows. It's just a penny, but that's all. You're forgiven. Be like Christ. That's what I care about. I don't know. It just hit me really good. I just thought this was a moment. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah, it makes you lots of sense. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay. It was stuff like that I wanted to hear, actually, Isaac, not just sticking to one or two verses here. I like the verse, what you said last time, when Judas had the saw and he had that one little piece of bread and that little bit of wine. And yet he had the Lord Jesus Christ, like the full loaf and the whole bottle right before him. And he exchanged it for him. And as soon as he ate that saw, that's when the devil entered into him. You know, you said something like that anyway. It's some of these revelations that people come up with when they study the word, you know. And you know, for me, it just came to me when I started on Mark. And sometimes these items, you know, it has a historical significance because, you know, David Eales tells us that the Gospels are for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then the book of Acts is when they started actually killing the Christians, and that's the second 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Usually it's called the Great Tribulation there. So I was kind of hoping to hear some of that kind of revelations that maybe the Lord maybe showed you things. But, you know, what in my study in Mark 15, 21, this is when Simon of Cyrene was compelled to carry his cross. And they compelled one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, that he might bear his cross. You know, and I looked at it twice, and then I said, well, who's compelling him? Well, his crucifiers are doing this. They're giving him a cross. And we don't, we're not supposed to get a cross from a disciple. We might get a correction from a disciple, but we're never supposed to get a cross from a disciple, not from a brethren. You know, a cross action comes from the worldly, you know, it's just not supposed to happen from a brother or a sister. And that's very strange because you got this multiverse denominationalism, and most of them are giving you a cross, you know, and it's just not supposed to happen that way. And anyways, you know, these people have to be called out from among them, as it says in Revelation. And I believe that because of some of the studies and knowledge that people have related to us and corrected us in some things, that the people here have been called out from among them. And so this Simon of Cyrene guy is a representation of us. And when I read it, it just never dawned on me. I'm not supposed to get this cross from a so-called Christian, you know, but yet alone, there's so many people calling themselves Christian, and a lot of them are giving a cross to a lot of people. If you think of all the wars that have happened since the cross and resurrection, all the other things too, like thievery, and these people saying they're Christians, and they steal and they lie and they do things that might affect a fellow brother in a way that it's going to be for your cross, but they're not supposed to be doing these things to you. They're supposed to have that salvation nature, character, and authority. And salvation, of course, has its bedfellows of grace and faith and love and the gift, of course. The gift being the new life, of course. And so that's kind of the stuff I was kind of hoping to hear today. And anyways, I just wanted to bring that one up because there's plenty of others, you know, like you can speak quite a bit on all of them. You know, it's just that sometimes you're there and you go, hey, I never thought of it that way on this outreach when people explain some of these things very simply. That's what I was trying to get to anyway. But what we've done so far just on these three verses is really good, you know. So praise God. Glory to God. You know, it's good for you to have salt. And the Lord commands his salt shaker. This helps us in a way more than we can realize. Because, you know, this verse in 49 certainly seems to me the way Joe put it as being a maturing thing, It's another way to look at it. Like this, the Lord's on your side here. You know, the Lord wants you to lose that flesh. And he wants you to have the miracle, because what's keeping you from getting it? He wants you to have the healing. He wants you to have the provision. He's using his salt shaker of fire, or whatever that looks like, to help you get rid of it, to help you believe, to do it for you. I just never thought of that verse that way as a powerful verse for doing that, for God doing it, for burning up the flesh. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
It kind of brings me back to the thought of what the Lord has done. I mean, like, even just in my life, and I'm sure it's obviously it's the same in everyone in this room, about taking me, birthing me into the kingdom, and then taking me through the immediately taking me into the religious system of the day, of today, and I think in modern terms or terms of, as of late, he took me through a D class and really exposed the system that is governing the world through the church. And just like Isaac is saying, that ye are the light of the world. The church, the people of God, being born into the world, or born again into the world, you have become a light. And I think about the I'm not sure exactly what teaching it is that David clarifies it, but I did a little study of my own and clarified exactly, you know, the Lord reminds me of it often, and that is, there's only two lives available to live. That's the life that God left here of Jesus, or it's our own. And only one of those basically goes to heaven. That life of Christ within us is what is the eternal life. And I'll just say the apostate system, or the modern day religious system that's covering the world, there's the thought, and I think David spoke about this a few teachings ago, basically, is that they only teach one of the aspects of salvation, and that's the born again portion. That's the crossing the Red Sea. That's the baptism in of water and coming up on the other side. And to them, that is the pinnacle and the end game. That's the total thing right there. Everything after that is just basically persevering until we can get through to the good stuff, when God's going to pull us out of here before the bad stuff really happens. And it's as though the going across the Red Sea, God splitting the Red Sea and bringing them up into the wilderness, that wilderness experience that that Israel went through and that we go through is not recognized in the apostate mindset as being profitable. Something that we have to endure until we get to the good stuff or whatever. But that's where God takes us and salts us with that fire and puts us through that those burnings and those decisions and those failures, and where we end up having to, you know, cast our faith and our trust and our hope and our faith in the Lord to pull us through this thing, and thereby through that process experience the failure of the flesh, the failure of our ability to trust upon that earthly perspective that we've come into. You know, that we're walking with, and he then sifts us and removes our dependency upon that, and replaces it with a dependency upon him. And Dave was talking about he went back through into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's where, when Israel came across the Red Sea, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the leading of the Holy Spirit through that wilderness process. But many of them did not receive it. They did not receive what they had in their hand. And they were disgruntled. They were complaining. Instead of embracing these things and looking past these things into the truth that the salvation that is there, they looked at those things as antagonistic toward them, and they rebelled and rejected those things and resisted those things, and they perished in that wilderness. They perished in that time. And so I think a lot of it comes, it does come back to, at some point in time there, I was looking at that, the verses in 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sure Andrew is well aware of these because he's a Corinthians person here. But, and I was just looking at that it was the giving of the Spirit, and Paul was explaining the receiving of the Holy Spirit in a sense, and what's actually taking place there. It says in verse 6, we speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world had known, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which I saw not, and ear heard not, know that which entered into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. God prepared something for us, even for us in this end age, for those in Christ. God prepared something very significant that was going to take him pouring out his Spirit and the receiving of his Holy Spirit for people to perceive, to grasp. but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And this is the thing that the Lord hit me on was verse 11. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man? No one understands the perspective I'm coming from when I'm saying the words that I'm saying. No, and quite frankly, many may listen to me and think, what the heck is this guy talking about? But if I could possibly take my spirit that's in me, when all the motivations, all the thoughts, all the history, all the everything that's in there, and temporarily just take it over and plant it in your brain, in your head, in your spirit, you would automatically be able to see from my perspective and understand from my perspective why I say the things that I say or whatever that would be. Well, God has done that very same thing, a very special gift that he's given us. He's taken his spirit and he's given us his spirit and placed it right over into our hearts and allowed, and only through that perspective are we able to go through these struggles and the fire that we go in, that from a worldly perspective would seem to indicate that's an antagonistic thing happening in our life. That's not good. But God, through his spirit, we're able to look from his perspective at that thing that he is doing in our life, and we see the benefit of it. We see the benefit of the cross. What is that verse it says? But the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it's salvation. It is the life. So I guess I was keying on what David was saying there on in First Corinthians 2:11, about that receiving of his Holy Spirit in order to get us through that wilderness and into that perfect place in Christ that he's prepared for us before the foundations of the earth. And I'm out of here.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Pat. I was, it's interesting because the wilderness, that trek they made when they passed through the Red Sea, death, burial, resurrection. The old man died in the Red Sea. It's supposed to be new life in Christ. But then you get the wilderness they had to walk through. And now as a trial, which is interesting to see, because that's the next step, is the trial, the test. Are you going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit? Are you going to walk in his way? Or are you going to be a mumbler and a complainer and find a way to try to get back into the flesh and back into the old life that you once enjoyed? Or are you going to walk in the new life of Christ? And so many of them didn't end up in that, past that wilderness. The whole generation died, except for Caleb and Joshua, which is pretty sobering. To think that, and then that was their children, their fruit that came through, that went and passed through the Jordan River. And I was trying to, you know, again, I was looking at some of the stuff I've copied and looked at, and trying to get the meaning and understanding of some of that stuff, other than the literal fact that so many people didn't make it into the promised land, you know, because they didn't please the Lord. They didn't have the fruit they needed, but it was coming down to, they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. They weren't being obedient to God. Their obedience, they didn't have faith for God to get them through the wilderness. And so, and the Jordan represents coming into that obedience and faith, and then you have the peace, and the God's carried you through the wilderness at that point, and you come into the promised land because you stayed the course, you manifested the perfection, you came into the image of Christ, you came in agreement with the word. That's what it represents, the fruit of Christ, you know, the Jordan, crossing the Jordan. So I mean, that's what we're looking at here. That's that salt, even though we've got that, and Isaac brings it up, the salt, which is the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit in your life, you know. It's, and the fire is there to prove whether or not that salt's going to, is there, you know, the fire, the salt, the tongues of the Holy Spirit. Are you going to lose your saltiness? Are you going to be trodden underfoot like they were in the wilderness? Or are you going to maintain your salt, have that saltiness, and get you through the wilderness and come into the other side of the Jordan, where you've now are at peace because you've been transformed in the image of Jesus Christ and you're walking in newness of life. You received it when you came through the Red Sea, but are you going to walk it out? Are you going to continue on the path? Are you going to lean on the Lord, or are you going to try to lean on the flesh? You know, that's kind of where it goes. So, we don't have much of a choice here. If you're going to continue on and go into the promised land through the Jordan, you've got to stay on the course, you know, otherwise you'll be discarded, you know. Even for us, that's kind of what the story points to. So I just thought I'd bring that up. Not that I'm trying to discourage anybody, but I'm saying just stay on the course, stay on the course. Pray. Ask for the be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Don't think, hey, I got it once, it's enough. No, let's continue to push forward, you know. So, amen.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, William.
Michael, you
say I can go ahead. Your audio is kind of bad there, William. Try it again. Hello, William. Can you hear me? Yeah, I don't think you're bad. A little bit better, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Now, I just wanted to pray, if that's all right.
Sure, go ahead.
You know what, when I had the perfect peace, I remember on UVM's website, there's a book about, I can't remember the guy's name, but he asked the Lord to take him to heaven. And the Lord faced him in a meeting, and I think in a meeting, the Lord took him to heaven, and he said it was very beneficial, because after he came back, he said nothing can stop him now. Nothing can stop him now, because he experienced a bit of heaven, or I don't know what everything he did experience, but it was so motivating. It's just walking in a straight line now, he feels like nothing can distract him from finishing the race. Just when someone mentioned perfect peace, I just figured if we can experience that perfect peace, it will be so motivating, the slice of heaven. So I just want to pray, Lord, I just ask you to bless all of us, Lord, that we can experience your perfect peace as it is in heaven. So it will be a great motivator for us to chase it, to run after it with all of our hearts. And Lord, I just want to pray against the spirit of murmuring and complaining when we are being crucified, that we will take it joyfully. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, go ahead, brother. Yeah. Go ahead, Israel.
What?
He's talking to you.
I said, go ahead.
Go ahead, Pop, buddy.
I was washing my eye, but the dinner that he ought.
Yeah. Get up here and stay closer. Stay closer. I got you. Go ahead.
There was rice in my eye, and he just got it out.
All
what
right.
He's saying is, yeah, what he's saying is he got a piece of rice, like a whole grain of rice, that stuck up in his eye, and he prayed to the Lord, help him get it out, because they're having a hard time getting it out. And once they prayed, it went boop and fell out. That's what he's trying to say.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, that's a good, good testimony, son. Now, the question I have, how in the world did you get a piece of rice in your eyeball? I'm just saying. Don't open your eyes on the rice, not on the water, on the rice.
And he's a messy eater.
Only young boys. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It came out. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Lord, I just thank you for another wonderful night together with all my brothers and sisters. I just love it when we get together and everybody gets to share, most everybody. And Father, we just praise you. We thank you that Thursday night's going to be an awesome time as well. Be with us. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight with good dreams of you and the things that are coming, Lord. And we thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing in each and every one of us, bringing us into that maturity that you want us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, y'all.